Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 31 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And I'm Mark Vila with Coleman & Company. And today we're doing our third part in the trilogy of Making More Money Next Month. And today is Using Email for Profit.
I got to tell you, Mark, I have always wanted to be involved in a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I just really, it's a dream come true.
Yeah, dreams coming true every day. That's what we try to do here. it's really important that we discuss this in this trilogy because we've done two things now. We've gone out and we've created some active word of mouth. So we've gone, visited some local businesses, gone to events. We have physically gone out and marketed ourselves as apparel decorators and small business owners.
That was episode 29.
Then we also hit the phones a little bit.
Yep.
So we called some of those folks. We called some people who were referred to us, or they were referred to them, vice versa.
Yep.
We've called some folks that were potential.
That hadn't heard from us yet,
right. But they were within our niche maybe, or within our area of town, and it was worth picking up the phone and contacting them. So we're building up a list.
Yeah, and spots on your calendar as well. This is not, you know, intellectual information that's to be studied. This is stuff that you should be doing in order to, I mean, we call these how to make more money next month for a reason. Because we want you to do these things so you make more money next month.
Yes.
Right? And just hearing it won't do that.
You have to do it today
for
it to make you more money next month.
Right.
It won't work if you wait till next month.
Right. So there should be a disclaimer.
Yes.
How to make money next month as long as you do the things in this podcast.
Today.
Yes,
you know,
today.
And soon. So part of it is the email, because we're building up a nice little email list here. If we've gone out once a week and we're actively creating word of mouth and we're picking up the phone once a week, so we're going out once a week, we're picking up the phone once a week, maybe that's the schedule that you're working on.
Yep.
And every week you're picking up new email addresses as you're getting business cards, as you're getting referrals, as you are meeting new people within the organizations that you work with. So you work with a school board, and now you get another principal's email address because they were referred to you.
And let me just set this up for you, because the most valuable thing that you can do, of course, in business is make a personal connection with someone.
Yep.
Honestly, I think almost the next most valuable might be an actual sale, but that email address is so valuable. I know that Coleman & Company and Coldesi both spend a lot of money and a lot of resource and a lot of time in order to get that kind of information.
And what happens is you get this, and too often, most of the time, small business owners get these email addresses and then do nothing with it.
Right. They don't know what to do with them. There's no plan to do anything with them, and they just sit there.
Yeah, and it can fall victim of the same thing with the phone number. You've got somebody's phone number, but you don't want to pick up the phone call and bother them, or you've got a little apprehension about doing that.
Yes.
So the business cards pile up, or they get lost in the ether, and you never do anything with them. So it's important to take action with these email addresses.
Agreed.
And we need to discuss, I guess, two things in the thought process of this. One is, what do you do individually yourself, one-on-one, with somebody via email?
Kind of as part of that initial introduction process,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's in person or by phone.
Yep. And other things are during sale and post sale emails, you know, directly from you or from the salesperson or from a manager or from whoever.
Right.
Then there is the larger scale. How do you market to all of your customers via email?
How do you use email to actually make more money separately from that initial contact?
Yeah. And we've actually have a whole podcast on email marketing.
We did many
years ago.
I can't even remember what that one was about. I think it was email.
Yeah, it was email marketing,
yeah,
which is a great one. So some of this information will overlap, but this one is about making more money next month, so we're going to focus more on the specific actions we're going to take to do this.
I agree, and I think one of the most important things for an immediate response and immediate profitability is what you said, and that's what to do when you get back to the office after that day of or morning of sales calls outside, or you're finished with your outbound calls and trying to find new customers and getting in touch with referrals. There's something that you should do after every one of those events when you have somebody's email address.
Yeah. So what I would say is this, is that you've got to do basically two things. Well, I guess three, if I'm counting the very first one. The very first one is email them. Okay.
Yes.
So that's the first part of the action, is you've got their email address, send them an email with, and the rule on that is, it's got to be within recent fresh memory of the introduction.
Yes.
So meaning, if it's not today, it's tomorrow.
Right.
If you meet them on Wednesday and you don't email them till the following Monday, they've forgotten a lot of the conversation. They forgot what your voice sounds like.
Yeah.
They forgot what your face looks like.
Or why they were in, why did I give them my email address?
Yes, exactly. So you've got to do it within recent memory.
Yeah.
So do it 24 hours.
Yep.
That's just the rule.
I like that. That's
24
good.
Hours. Sooner, better.
Yep.
But within 24 hours. Then what your goal of the email is, one is to reconfirm the introduction.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Mark. We just met. We talked about XYZ. I create this type of apparel. I do bling t-shirts. You know, I do dancewear. Whatever it is. You remind them of who you are, even though you just said it.
Yeah. Hey, let's do that a couple more times, though, because I really like this idea. And I think it should be like, you know, hey, this is Betty. I've got the embroidery shop down the street. So nice meeting you today.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember, I do these things, and you said that it might be something you're looking at. I just wanted to touch base through email.
And the next one could be, hey, we just hung up the phone. I just finished chatting with you. I told you on the phone. That's the other thing.
Right.
Tell them you're going to email.
Yeah.
Them, so they expect it. We just spoke on the phone. I told you I would shoot you a quick email with my contact information. Look at my signature line. My phone number and email and website are all right there.
Yeah.
And just as a quick reminder, you know, I handle all types of custom t-shirt creating and rhinestone t-shirts and caps and tote bags and everything like that. That's one part of it.
Yes.
So number three, I guess, was one is send the email. Two is reconfirm the introduction. And then three is to set the next action.
Yeah, and honestly, guys, write this stuff down because this is so valuable. Like, every email should be like this.
Yeah.
You should...
Almost.
So,
every communication almost. But definitely, yeah, every email, I agree, should have a structure like this. So
for the call to action at the end of the email, you know, you're doing a couple things. First of all, you're preparing them. You're letting them know two things that they are going to hear from you again through email most of the time, but that you're not going to spam the crapola out of them, right? Because if I tell you, hey, you know what? We met. You said you were interested in doing something in April. I'm going to send you a note sometime in late March just to make sure that we're still connected.
Yeah.
Then they know that they're going to expect that, and, oh, my God, I'm going to get an email from these people every day now. So you've kind of said, here's the expectation, it's a good one, and you don't have to have that bad expectation that I'm going to bug you all the time.
And you want them to, you know, it's a little bit psychological, and it's also just friendly,
yeah,
to confirm of what's going to happen next. So maybe just what's going to happen next is, I'm gonna shoot you another email or a phone call, or I'm going to be in your area of town and pop in sometime next month.
Yeah.
Or sometime this summer, whatever it might be, you know, whatever it is, literally,
yeah,
just say it, and as light as it can be. So it might possibly just be that you just met them, they are not interested in buying anything now, they
yeah
don't have a specific future date of when they're going to buy again. All it is, yeah, I might be interested in buying some t-shirts one day.
Yeah.
That, if you've got that, that's still fine.
Reconfirm
the introduction. Then finish it with your next action. Say, hey, I'll probably just shoot you an email sometime within the next month or two,
yeah,
just to follow up with you, see if you need anything, remind you I'm around.
Yeah.
And that's just being honest. Is literally
absolutely.
Just tell them, I don't want you to forget me.
Yeah.
So I will just shoot you an email in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I like that.
And there's nothing wrong with saying that, and people will appreciate the honesty in saying that. And just like anything else, just like the outside sales, just like the phone sales, very, very few people are going to say, no, don't ever email me.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah, they'll just delete you.
Yeah.
That's all.
And if they do say that, they probably weren't going to be your customer.
Right.
So delete them off of your list.
But here's what I like is I like the email as a component of the things that we've already talked about. So like you said, first day, you know, first part of the trilogy, we talked about going out and meeting people in person.
Mm-hmm.
So you can reconfirm that. You know, at the end of this email, if you've done it that way, you might also say something like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be back in your part of the neighborhood in about 2 weeks. I'll probably just stop by with a sample or something and to say hi.
Yeah, that's...
Which is great. If it was a phone call that you talked on the phone with this person and they're in your geographic area, then maybe your email says, hey, I said I was going to send you an email. Here's all my contact information. Maybe the call to action at the bottom is, by the way, I'm going to be on your street next week. Would you mind if I stopped in? If mm-hmm. you're going to be there, I'll bring a sample of my work to show you. And then, you know, again, so you've got the physical sales call and introduction and the follow-up, and you've got the phone sales call and introduction and follow-up, and it's both with email, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's such a simple thing to do. And what some people will think is, I don't really want to bother somebody with emails. I get too many of them.
Right. I hate that.
Whatever it is. But what, Mark? What?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the obvious answer
on
that?
So my wife is a perfect example.
Okay.
Because she hates emails. But, you know, Gmail has a separate tab just for, like, advertisements and promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And she spends every morning going through all of these emails on coupons and promotions and specials for websites she's been to and people that she's talked to and things like that. And she will complain about having to go through and delete 25 emails every day. And then she'll buy two things within the couple days off that list,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's really very common and it's very easy. The biggest and most successful companies on the planet use email marketing, okay, and they communicate by. Amazon, almost their entire business is based on email. If you are on the Walmart email list, you get all kinds of stuff. Any clothing or food retailer, coupon list, just a huge amount of business is done through email.
Yeah, and there's, if you buy, you know, if you shop at Bed Bath & Beyond, if you shop at Bath & Body Works, if you shop at Macy's, if you shop at Sears,
Sports Authority. Coleman & Company,
Bass
Those
Pro
people
Shop.
People never leave you alone.
You know, I mean, I've probably named somebody who's been in your inbox within the past week.
Right.
You know, Disney, cruises. If you've ever been on a cruise, save yourself from the emails. You're going to get an email every
Just
hour.
Unsubscribe right away.
But the point being is that it's because it works. And even though I don't necessarily like getting, say, you know, closing my email, then opening it and having 20 and 15 of them being ads, I might not always like that. I might be annoyed by it, but I respond to it. And I still do. I still buy things from it. You probably still do too.
Yeah. And honestly, I guarantee, I can 99.9% guarantee that none of those emails that you have in your inbox are from custom apparel vendors.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Nobody, none of your competition is sending their customers emails on a regular basis. I guarantee it.
Yeah, none.
Because we have, I mean, between all of the Coleman companies, you know, we talk to hundreds of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get those emails.
I can't think of the last time I got a marketing email, even by accident,
from a customer
I should have ended up on the list somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't. So it means that you've got the opportunity to set yourself apart by, so one is the direct email, which you are going to have some of your competition who is doing that. They're going to talk to somebody and then they're going to send them an email. Okay. Right. So you've got to be a part of that game. To keep up.
But you are going to do it a little bit better because you're going to use the structure that Mark talked about in the first part. You know, you're going to pay attention to all that stuff. You're going to write a nice email, and you're going to have somebody else read it to make sure the grammar and spelling is right and that it sounds good.
Now, what about on a larger scale? So say I'm doing this every week. Every week, I'm getting 20 emails, 10 emails, right. Even a modest number. I'm getting 5 new emails. That means I'm getting 20, 25 every month.
Yes.
By the end of the year, I've got hundreds of emails.
And that's awesome. That's when it really starts to pay off. I mean, doing this first level email that we talked about will make you more money because you're going to stay connected to more people and they're going to buy stuff. Okay, yep. We've already talked about how that works. But once you have enough people on a list to actually do marketing emails, that's where the real money comes in. And the first thing I would like everyone to stop right now and promise me, put your hand over your heart, that you will never create an email to more than one customer from the same screen and use the CC field.
Yes, you can't do that. The BCC.
No, you can't. You can't use your regular email software to send more than one email at a time to customers. First of all, that's one great way to get yourself listed as a spammer.
Yep.
Because that's the way they do it. And secondly, the deliverability is bad. So if you have 5 customers on AOL, for example, and you put all of their names in the to field and you hit send, then there's a good chance that the next time you do that, AOL is not going to deliver your emails.
Absolutely.
They just don't.
And it's not something that we consider a lot because most emails that we're sending are directly to one person, yes. One customer, one friend. So right. We say, well, that's never happened to me. I email my friends in AOL all the time.
Yeah.
But now you're a business.
Yeah.
And now you're sending a lot more emails. And you're doing it more often. And if every week you're sending this CC email to a bunch of different people, for one, you are invading the privacy of your customers.
Because they can all see that, yeah. Right? They can see that.
So you're sharing other people's email addresses to other people. Which is just not nice.
Right.
It's not friendly. It's not good etiquette. And you're increasing your chances of not being delivered or being put into spam boxes, which then that's a whole nother problem to deal with. And you might have to hire somebody to get that fixed.
Yeah.
It's also just, there's no way to track how it's working.
Right. So you can, if you send a regular email, you can't track the thing that you can with an email service, which is what we're going to talk about.
Yes. Yeah. So let's maybe talk about what are some things that you would do when you're going to send. What is an email service?
Okay.
That's a good, very brief. And then what are you going to do? But we have a whole podcast on it, so we don't need to go too deep.
No, agreed. So I'm going to mention the two most popular, the two with best name recognition, and that's MailChimp and Constant Contact. Constant Contact even has radio commercials in the Tampa area.
Yeah.
It's that common. And basically what they are is you're hiring a company to manage your emails for you. And what they do is they give you a bunch of templates so you can create really attractive emails very easily. They kind of coach you along the way on what works in email and what doesn't. And they handle delivering those emails. They keep track of who opened them, how many times they opened them, what time of day they open them, and they help you optimize all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have the last feature, which is great. They put an unsubscribe button at the top or the bottom of every email. So you're giving your customers the opportunity to say, I don't want this anymore.
Yes, which is what you kind of legally need to do.
Yeah.
And it's also a friendly thing to do. Email, you should make email friendly, which means if you don't want to get them, don't get them.
Yeah.
Delete them if you just want to delete them or participate. Right. But you give them basically those three options in every email. And it also, the tracking is really nice. So that's where you have the opportunity to say, well, how many people read my newsletter every month?
Yeah.
How many people delete it every month? And how many people are unsubscribing from my list every month?
Yeah, and there's all kinds of things you can look at. So let's say you decide to do a newsletter or coupons or whatever it is. You can say, you know what? When I send out a coupon on custom t-shirts that only 5% of the people that I'm emailed to actually open it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I send it out on embroidered polos or caps, then 20% of the people open it. Guess what my customers are most interested in?
Yeah.
You know, or when I use a coupon that's 10% off, or I use one that's free shipping, or, you know, something like that, I can see what my customers want. You know, and you can see that in numbers, and the email software makes it really easy and clear to do that.
And you can test out ideas with your email. So you can say, well, I wonder if I offer everyone free caps with the purchase of shirts.
Right.
So you can write a little email. And I think that as a small business owner, even when they're little marketing emails, which means that I have a message I want to deliver to all of my customers.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go into this email software that I use.
Yep.
I've uploaded and inputted all my customers in there who have given me permission to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of it is that you say, hey, I'm going to send you some emails in the future. Is that cool? You know, whatever it is. You make sure that they are good with you doing that.
Yep.
And then you send messages out to them. And so, and then you look at how those perform.
Yep.
So you're going to say, well, I'm going to offer free caps. So the message is going to be get free caps with custom embroidered polos.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, this, and it could be very upfront. And Louis C.K. is a comedian. Okay. He writes all of his own emails through an email service, and his are conversational, which is a great way to do marketing in one direction.
Yep.
His are, hey guys, you're my fans. Here's a new episode of this show. You can buy it for $3 on my website. Here's the link. You can make your emails like that as well if that's the personality of your business.
Right.
Hey everybody, I want to try out. I have a new promotion I'm running. I want to see how you like it. I get lots of requests for custom embroidered polos.
Yeah.
For every 10 that you buy, I'm going to give you a free hat.
Yeah.
If you're interested in that,
click here.
Click here. And it sends you to their website, or it sends you to a form, or it allows them to respond to your email, or you put your phone number on there to call you.
Yeah.
So that's one way. And then the other way is to make it a little more formal.
Yeah.
And just where it's not a conversational email, but it's actually an email that says, that just says that.
Yeah.
You know, at, you know, Tom's Embroidery Shop. You know, now offering free caps with polos.
Right.
You know, brand new promotion for the spring of 2016.
Yeah.
You know, call now or email or click here to learn more or find out information or to get your free hat or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I love that. And it's all really trackable. And one of the best things is that most of them, and I use MailChimp and Constant Contact. I like MailChimp because it's really easy. But the first 2,000 email addresses or something like that are free. So a lot of these email softwares are free to get started for small businesses. And they're not terribly expensive afterwards. So it's not a huge investment in doing it.
Yeah, you can have a really nice email list and pay for all of the extra features and all of this in these email, in almost all of them, for less than a couple hundred dollars a month.
Yeah.
So it's a low cost and
well let me put it this way. Coldesi spends a couple of hundred dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a huge email list. So the money that you're gonna spend is negligible.
Yeah, on the high end, you know, we've used high end software, you know, really commercial custom program stuff, and we've used small business style software in the past as well. And even on the high end, a massive single feature and custom everything and not is still less than $1,000 a month. That's massive scale stuff.
Right. That's Lowe's.
Yeah.
That's Home Depot scale.
You know, that's massive scale stuff. And at that point in time, you need employees to run it.
Yeah.
That it's so big.
So you're big.
Yeah.
And you bought a lot of equipment from Coldesi.
Yeah. And even then. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So you can do this affordably, and you should do it affordably. But at minimum, you've got to start with the one-on-one interactions, then you should move into this.
Yeah.
The point being on using an email service like this for that, even if it's 300 people, 500 people, whatever the number is, what you've got to do is remind them that you exist.
Right. And I want to point something out here. Let's say you get to the point where you have 250, 300 people on your list. Think about how productive we've talked about the active word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And going out and, you know, talking to people in person once a week or however you decide to do it. And then think about that phone time that you're going to spend. Between those two things, I mean, how many customers are you actually physically yourself going to be able to talk to? That's the limitation of this kind of that kind of marketing that email doesn't have. So if you think about email marketing like, okay, I want to connect with my 200 customers and potential customers today. This is the only way that you're going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it has all that same kind of profitability advantage. You know, if you email to 200 customers, how many of those are going to be in the market right now? If you email to 1,000 customers, how many of those are going to be in the market right now? So if you think about it like that and kind of map it out, well, if I call 100 people on the phone, I'll get an order. you know, or I'll get $1,000 worth of orders. If I can email 1,000 people, you know, maybe with the click of a button, I can get that same $1,000 worth of orders or more.
Yeah, and it builds up, you know, the longer you have your list, it builds up. And, you know, where I was going with it before was that just part of what this is that people will forget who you are, especially Absolutely. When you're doing this. When you're doing this, making more money next month steps of phone calls in person and emails, in 30 days, a good chunk of those, say, 50 people you met last month are going to forget your name, the name of your company. They lost your business card. They threw it away.
Yeah.
It got lost. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
They forgot who you are already.
Yeah.
And now they need to order shirts. And don't depend on them remembering who you are and where your information. So that email can remind them, say, every month, even if it's just once a month, that you send out a little newsletter or a little reminder. I mean, the email can literally be a reminder of who you are and what you do and a little story about one of your customers or who you did or where your business is going or an event that you're going to.
A picture of a shirt you just did.
Yeah. So do that every month.
Yeah.
Just all those people, you build up the list, and then every month you could send out, you could call it a newsletter, you could call it a coupon, you could make it a deal, you know, to say that you get free digitizing if you're on this list.
Yeah, hey, I'll send you a coupon every month, I promise.
Yeah, you could send them a coupon every month. So follow up with your customers via email every month, and then the secondary part of that is, besides the mass style email stuff, the customers that you have the best potential of getting more orders from, your top 10%, you know, those customers that you're like, oh, I know that this, you know, you meet somebody who owns a, a water company. They deliver water to businesses.
Yeah.
Right. And so they have 10 drivers and 4 salespeople.
High turnover.
You know, and the high turnover, they are getting, and they all have to wear these uniforms that are polo shirts with their company logo. You know that they're going to order in chunks when they do events, and they're going to order in singles when they hire new employees. That's a good customer that you then send personal emails every month.
Yeah, you could do that.
So, you could call them and visit them as well. You know, you could do all three, but... So it's important to do mass emails, but it's also important with certain customers that you're physically sending those reminder emails from you alone.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing too, just like making the phone call or stopping in person.
Yeah.
And you can template that stuff. You can write an email and copy it.
Yeah.
And then send it to, say, your top 10 customers.
Yeah, don't forget to change the first name, though.
Yeah.
Because I've done that before.
Don't copy that part, actually.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to tell you to do, is don't copy the hi. Hi, Charlie. Hi, Juan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, are all very easy to write. But you can write it just, hey, wanted to check on, see how you're doing. I hope you survived this winter. You know, it's been a tough one. Springtime is here, and it gets really busy. If you need any custom apparel, remember, I'm here to help you out. I do get really busy come April.
Place your orders early.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I think that's a nice little roundup there of what you need to do with this making more money next month. And the bottom line is you got to send emails, and you should have a good etiquette on them. You know, I don't know if we mentioned too much in that. You mentioned about having somebody read it.
Yeah.
You mentioned about grammar. But you mentioned about not putting the wrong name in there.
Right.
You know, all those things are important. But structure them well. Pay attention to what you're writing.
Yeah.
And do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think I kind of would like to break down a little bit the most important parts and some knowledge about what people actually read in an email, because I think that'll go a long way towards people actually getting through to their customers.
Yeah, okay? I think that's like a perfect wrap-up then. This is actually what's going to be in it and why you're going to do it.
I agree. So the first thing is, everybody, I don't know if everyone knows actually, but everyone is subject to the subject line.
Mm-hmm.
So when you write an email, you make a decision when you get an email on whether or not to open it or just delete it, right? And that decision is made on the subject line. So if the subject line of the email is, for example, free caps, if someone is interested in embroidery or caps or custom apparel, they'll probably open that email.
Mm-hmm.
If the if the subject line was Tom's Embroidery Promotions. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Right? So that subject line is important. Everyone reads that. And then from that point, the reading of the emails breaks down considerably. So they'll read the first sentence or two, and they'll read the signature line, and they'll read the postscript, the PS at the bottom. So what I'm saying is the paragraphs that you write in the middle, all about your company, all about, you know, what you'll accept, you know, for an order and what you won't accept and what you do and what you don't do, all of that stuff does not get read. They'll read the subject line, they'll open it, they'll read the first sentence, they'll see who it's from if they're interested, and then if you have a PS at the bottom, that's what they'll read.
I rarely write an email that's more than five sentences.
Right. So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Maybe five sentences and a call to action.
Yeah.
So think about those parts the most. And the PS is fun because that's where you can put your call to action. So it can be, you know, hey everyone, here's my email, my monthly newsletter. At the bottom, hey, PS, got some great new colors of shirts in. Go to my website and see.
Yeah, now offering neon t-shirts,
whatever it might be. Yeah, and click the link.
But the same thing is true with written things as well. We might as well say it.
Yeah.
If you're going to write a thank you note or you're going to write a little letter that you're physically going to mail to somebody,
yeah,
they're going to read the top of it, who it's from, that first sentence maybe,
yeah,
the signature line and the postscript.
Yeah.
That's it. So the big chunk in the middle is you could...
It's gone.
You could just hit the F button on your keyboard.
I get that all the time. Mark, did you actually read that email you forwarded to me? Well,
I mean, I said... I read what it was about.
I knew what it was about. I thought it was for you.
Yeah.
So I forwarded it on to you.
So that happens all the time. So I think that when you're breaking this stuff down, write a subject line.
Yeah.
I mean, you should listen to the email marketing podcast if you want to really get a big breakdown of this stuff. But the subject line is going to decide if people are going to open it or not.
Yeah.
So think about what you are going to make the subject line about and what it's going to say. Don't try to be tricky or weird or too funny with it. Just nice and simple, and attention gathering is good.
Yep.
Then make sure that the opening sentence or two conveys basically the entire message of the email.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, we just met.
Yep.
We just met. I told you I was going to send you my contact information. Here it is. Signature line, and I will contact you again in a few weeks as we spoke about.
We met yesterday. I told you I was going to email. I sell custom t-shirts. Love, John. P.S. Here's my website. Order shirts.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
And that's good enough. It doesn't have to be complicated because you're just constantly reminding them that you're there. You are following through with sharing the information, whether it's a phone number or a link to your website or a picture of something. They asked what a Spangle shirt looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
So you said, I got some great pictures and I'll email you. And you do that. And that's it. I think it's easy and simple on the email side. You can easily...
We don't want to make it too hard. We did a whole podcast on it. Honestly, our entire podcast series could just be about email marketing.
Yeah.
It's that deep.
Yeah.
But it's also that simple. That what we just talked about, you could do this stuff. And, I mean, honestly, just like the first two of the trilogy, which I still love saying, you know, just like those first two podcasts, you know, it will help you make more money next month.
Absolutely.
We're not making this stuff up.
Absolutely. If you start emailing your customers regularly, whether it's one-on-one direct emails or through an email service where you're emailing them all at once, you will get somebody that calls you up and says, I just got your email. I actually need to order some shirts.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, it really doesn't matter. And I personally don't care whether or not you like email or not. It doesn't matter because some people, and we all know people like this, some people love to talk on the phone. Some people love to read articles on the internet. Some people communicate almost exclusively by email.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me. I only communicate by email, so I never answer my phone. So, I mean, don't discount an entire type of person that you might effectively market to because you don't like email.
Yeah.
You know?
That's actually a really great point to make at the end there.
I appreciate that.
Because that is, people often, especially when in marketing and sales, will assume that because they don't like something, it's wrong.
Right.
And that's not true. Just because you don't like something because you don't like it.
Right.
But I don't like something because I don't. And they might be completely two different things. I have friends of mine that I am best friends with that I haven't spoken to on the phone. They live out of state.
Yeah.
We haven't talked in probably years.
Yeah.
But we email and text constantly.
All the time.
I almost
right.
forget what their voices sound like.
Right.
I have other friends of mine that I will text and then the response back is them calling me.
Right.
So it's great.
Those are older friends.
those are really older friends. So it's true of this is email your customers, go out and see your customers, pick up the phone and talk to your customers. You should do it with your customers. You should do it with your potential prospects.
Yes.
And you should do it with folks you've never heard from or talked to before as well.
That are likely customers.
And you will make more money next month and the months after that, because I'll tell you what, we've said it a bunch of times in here, most of your competition is not going to do those three things, but you are, which is why you're going to do better.
Yeah, and honestly, it excites the hell out of me, the fact that you guys might be more successful in the coming months because of the last three podcasts that we did.
Yeah.
So go back. Now that you're done with this one, take action on the emails, then go back to active word of mouth. Then do your small business phone skills podcast. Do your using email for profit podcast. Again, put it all on your calendar and then let us know at host@caspodcast.com whether or not this stuff helped you make money, because I know it will.
Yeah, and I would love to see you go on the Facebook group and say, I just went out and did my first, you know, active word of mouth sales calls and I got a customer.
Yeah,
or I met five people that said they might buy from me soon, which is five more than yesterday that said they might buy from me.
All right, I think that does it. This has been Mark Stevenson.
And Mark Vila. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, have a good business.